so much for tonight, and thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to share and to hear the word of God. We pray that your word will give us understanding and encourage us in Jesus' name. We're blessed to be here, Lord, and we're grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Right. Losing, suffering, sacrificing, dying. LSSD. What is LSD? It's a drug. Okay, this one is LSSD. So it must be a lot better. Amen. Okay. So we're just continuing in our season of feeding 5-7, where we take a particular book and we study whatever subject the book is about. Amen. And we literally go from page to page trying to understand what our pastor has written to us as led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So today we want to continue to chapter 5. Okay. Or section 2. Where we talk about why God wants you to experience suffering. Hallelujah. Now this is a very important subject because it is very easy across our Christian lives to be biased and unbalanced in our understanding. Do you see? And that is not a good way to grow up. Balance is very important for growing up. Otherwise, you grow up tilted towards something. And then when it goes the other way, you realize that you don't really have a foot for that. And you are unprepared for that. Hallelujah. So it is important that every person, even if you talk about just ordinary and regular everyday life, it's important to be balanced. Amen. It's important for people to know how to live in abundance and also how to live without. Hallelujah. Because real life is a combination of both. Hallelujah. It's a combination of ups and downs. It's a combination of lefts and rights. Hallelujah. And if you are raised just to know one side, then you realize that when you start to experience real life and you're exposed to the other side, you find yourself totally unprepared for it. Amen. Now, our faith teachings and the concept of God being a good God, you know, and the way we approach our relationship with God is such that our natural inclination is to lean only towards good experiences, you see, and things working out well as defined by us. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm trying not to say even blessed experiences, because blessed depends on who is defining it. Do you understand? Many things that you may think are a curse for your life or a setback for your life may actually be your greatest blessing in God's eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And many, 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 many situations that we frown upon, those situations are victims of our premature judgment. You see what I'm saying? It's like tasting the food before it's cooked. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if someone just set out to make some stew for you, and then just when they pour the oil into the saucepan, you start to taste it. You get it, yeah. And you start to judge them based on that, and you say that you're a very bad cook. You get it? So you are cooking oil for me to eat. What? You know, it's not because they are such a bad cook, but it's that you are drawing a premature conclusion. Hallelujah. The Bible says all things work together for good. Do you understand? But sometimes the things are not done working together or have not worked together long enough for the good to appear. Do you see what I'm saying? And then we just step in and judge it based on that. So it is good that every Christian firmly believes, first of all, that God is a good God no matter what. You know, and then walk in faith through the different curves and different experiences and understand, have a broader based understanding of what following him entails. Do you understand? So that there are no surprises for you, and also so that your faith can stretch wide enough to contain unconventional experiences. Unconventional, by unconventional, I mean unconventional to faith. You see, and faith living and what we are used to experiencing or have been taught we will to expect to experience when we walk in faith. I think you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's difficult to just say the things, but I mean, try to step ahead of me and try to see where I'm going. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. So here you are with this verse, Philippians 1:29, which says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Amen. So the Bible says two things have been given to the followers of Christ. One is to believe in him, and then the other one is to suffer for his sake. Hallelujah. To suffer for his sake. Amen. So in your Christian life, you should not be surprised if following Christ causes you to suffer some experiences that you would rather not have. Amen. You shouldn't be surprised. And I'm saying that your Christian life should be elastic enough, you know. Your maturity should be stretchable enough to include such experiences, and you still have faith and you still believe that God is who he is, and still trust that he's a good God. Amen. Amen. The saints of old, did not peg their faith in God only on fantastic and pleasurable experiences. Do you see? They believed in God no matter what. Do you see what I'm saying? They believed in Hebrews chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter, because in that chapter you see a combination of believing in God and also suffering for his sake. Do you get it? Just look at it very quickly before we continue. Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews. Where is that? Hebrews chapter 11. And you just read from verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Okay. "Now through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." But verse 6, "Without faith it's impossible to please him." Verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house." By by faith, number 8, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place, etc. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Verse 10, for he looked for a city. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now, these are the things we are used to faith doing for us. You see what I'm saying? When someone says, I have faith, usually they mean that an impossibility is becoming possible. Isn't it? A closed door is reopening. Isn't it? They are climbing to some place in life that they do not naturally qualify to step into. Do you see? So here you are, by faith, a woman has received strength to conceive seed. Someone who couldn't have a baby for a long time had a baby when she was way past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you see? Therefore sprung there even of one, and of him as good as dead. That was her husband. Her husband too was as good as dead. You see, husband was as good as dead. And through him, the Bible says, many stars and so many people came into the world through him. It's referring to the people of Israel. Now, verse 13 says, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, and it goes on and on and on. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You see, so now the losses have begun. That faith is because of what you believe. Now you are going to lose. Do you see? So by faith, it is because of what he believed that Abraham offered up Isaac. He put Isaac down and was about to kill the boy because God says so. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. He says, even though he was his only begotten son. There are only two people in the Bible that you hear talking about only begotten son. That's God himself. And the next person is Abraham. You see? Then, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know? In other words, God had told him that it is in Isaac that your seed is going to, your family is going to arise out of Isaac. And yet, this same Isaac was now being offered. You get it? So it's by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So, Abraham went ahead and he did that by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob, I'm on verse 20, 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses, again, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Do you see? And that's also by faith. Isn't it? That it is because of what he believed. By faith, he chose to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Wow, isn't that powerful? Yeah. So he has the option of choosing pleasure and then suffering. Then, by faith, he chooses suffering. Do you understand? So that he can be with God's people. So you see, sometimes you even need to choose suffering so you can be in church. Be with God's people. Instead of enjoying pleasure. Hallelujah. Yeah, and the pleasure is just for a season. Okay? And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect, etc. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath, and so on and so forth. This is a very interesting chapter, okay? And you can read it and read the rest of it when you go. But when you read verse 32, it says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and also Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings. So you can see, up to this point, up to the 35, faith is doing powerful things. The things we are used and have been trained to come to expect because of faith, isn't it? But 36 says there are others also who, because of faith, they had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheep skins and goat skins, being destitute, broke. Can you see that? Yeah, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in dens, and in caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Amen. Right. So that's just a quick summary through the faith chapter. Do you see? And you can see that there are two sides. Hallelujah. And it is important that you don't grow up leaning on one side. Hallelujah. It's very important that we don't grow up unbalanced. As you are maturing in Christ, it is important for you to have the right perspective. Because whether you like it or not, if you are going to be a good Christian, you will see that it will run you through some curves and some difficult places, which if your mind or your heart is not prepared for, can surprise you and make you feel that God has forsaken you, or that God has been or has not been faithful to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. So, reasons why God wants you to experience suffering. Why does God allow his loved ones to experience suffering? Number one is because it pleases him. Amen. This is the most fantastic and the most shocking one. Hallelujah. But there is a direct verse in the Bible to support that. Verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. The Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Can you see that? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Hallelujah. See, you can hold your Bible and then decide that when you read, see certain pages and it's not nice, you just skip them quickly and then pretend they are not there. Hallelujah. But if you are a true Christian and you take your time and read the Bible, do you understand? You will read or come across a verse like this which you cannot skip. Amen. This is a prophetic utterance concerning Christ. And the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Hallelujah. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. And those bruises, it pleased the Lord. God was very happy to have his son go through that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And in this book, Bishop talks about, he gives a very classic example from parenting. And he talks about how his children were going to boarding school. And when he was in boarding school and didn't enjoy it, he didn't like it because of the experiences he went through, because of his skin color and so many hassles. Even those of us who have this skin color, it was not easy for us in boarding school. Do you understand? Yeah. A certain rigorous training that is given to you through the things you suffer. You know, somehow you just become wise. Is it not true? Yeah. Because you have rising bells, you have morning trotting, scrubbing of bathrooms, and some of those bathrooms are deadly. Eish! You know, you see, scrubbing of very dirty bathrooms, what, sweeping, weeding. Even some of the weeding, I mean, sometimes I look back and wonder, what was the point? Because they were not making a farm. They were not doing anything. It was just to give you a chance to go and swing your arms. You get it? And get blisters, you see. And in my day, they had this cutlass where the front is the back. You know, these machetes where, you know, it's like, it's curved like this. You get it? And typically, the sharp part should have been inside here. But in this case, the sharp part was on the outside. Oh, you just, and the thing is even heavier than me. Because I was a very small boy like that. I tell you. You see. And then hunger. You know. Yeah. And they give you a certain amount of food to last a certain amount of time. You get it? And you have to sort of stretch it across the time. You get it? And within that, you also have to budget for a very wicked senior who will take half of it from you. You get it? He won't bring anything from his house. And then just arrive and then collect from all of us little boys. It's very terrible, you know. But there was just something about that. So Bishop was given an example of how he had tried to get his own children to, you know, do certain things, learn certain things, wake up early, clean your room, make up your bed, and all these kinds of things. And how, you know, it's just every time it's not working. So when the opportunity came for them to go to boarding school, he realized that he was pleased. He realized that he was pleased. Somehow he just felt pleased that, ha, you know, and it doesn't come from a desire to sort of get even. It is not, that's not what it is. It's not like you just want to see your children suffer. But I think the pleasure comes from knowing that what you have sought to achieve will now be achieved. Do you understand? Will now be achieved. I mean, even around here, you know, one of the brothers was telling me how he sent his son to, his son went to college. And he went to the military college, you know. So it's not a joke in that place. Hey, he said when the boy came home after the first semester, they could see it pleased him that he had sent his son to that school. Yeah. And now his son, when he comes home, he comes to sort out his sisters in the house. You know, he says, no, you have to do this. You have to do this. And he's bringing order to the house. You get it? So you can be in a situation like that where you can see that even though something is going to bring pain to your child, you are pleased because you know the good that will come out of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Same thing when mothers take their children to the doctor for their shots. You know, you're happy that the shot has been given. You know, it's sad to see the child miserable and crying all day. But in your heart, you feel satisfied. Do you see what I'm saying? You say, finally, I can take her on this trip. There are some people who cannot travel with their children. Not just some people. It's just not unwise to do that. When your child has not taken her shots, it's not wise to travel with the child because then they're exposed to all kinds of things. Yehuda, is that not the case? Yeah. So the once the shot has been given, you feel more satisfied. But it brings a lot of misery to the child. But because you know the good that will come out of it, and I believe that God could see, he saw in the bruises of Christ, he saw a world being washed from their sins for many, many, many years to come. He saw many, many people coming to righteousness. He saw creation that he had lost to the devil. You know, he saw mankind being brought back to him and being restored to him. You know, so as the bruising was going on, he was pleased because he could see the result. And he knew that this looks terrible, but there's so much good behind it. Hallelujah. So every believer must believe, if God allows you to experience suffering, you must embrace it with faith and be able to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be able to say thank you, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm grateful, because if you trust the Lord, you will know and should know that it is ultimately for your good. Can I have an amen? Amen. If God allows it, it must be for your good. Say amen. Amen. Number two, God wants you to experience suffering because it makes you perfect. It makes you perfect. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Hallelujah. Perfect through sufferings. So perfection that comes through the things that a person suffers. Hallelujah. The word perfect means to make you complete, you know. And generally speaking, we are incomplete without having suffered some things. Hallelujah. Yeah. When a person has had no problems and no challenges and no difficulties in life, you know, they lack a certain element that makes them complete and mature. Isn't it? Yeah. Life on this earth includes suffering of all kinds. Once you have not experienced some kind of suffering, there is a level of maturity that you simply lack. Hallelujah. Sometimes parents rob their children of the beautiful opportunity to mature by not having certain things. Do you see what I'm saying? Especially when you've grown up without certain things. You get it? It is easy for you to go the other way, to ignore and not recognize the blessing it has brought to you. Do you see what I'm saying? And have your heart and mind still fixated on the longing and the strong desire that you had for those things when you didn't have them. Do you see what I'm saying? It can go two ways. You can either sit back and appreciate what your life has become as a result of what you didn't have. Do you see what I'm saying? Or you can continue to hang on, because when you didn't have it, you didn't know that your life was becoming more beautiful. You get it? You just felt that you were being deprived of things that maybe other kids had. Do you understand? You felt that you were being deprived of things. Sometimes other kids will bring a lot of money to school and come and splash it around, and you didn't have any money, or you did have some money, but the money had to be measured in the spending. You see what I'm saying? There were other kids who seemed to have unlimited amounts of money. You see, now over time, when you see how things have turned out, you see that you have become a much more responsible person. You know the value of money. You acquire a certain knowledge and wisdom and maturity where money, the handling of money is concerned, that other people do not have. You see, and then with time you see that the difference starts to show that they struggle. They are used to spending a lot of money without any plan, you know, in the hopes that it's going to come again. You see, and they are not used to learning certain things and cutting some corners and trying to economize, and they don't know how to do those things. Do you get it? So in fact, you can actually destroy your children by giving them everything. You really can destroy them. You understand? And unfortunately, sometimes people who grow up without certain things do that to their children because they feel that they don't want their children to go through what they went through. You see, and it is because they despise the learning that they got from it. They don't even realize, or they are not even aware of what their struggles have added to their life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, they are not even conscious of it. So they start out and try to make their children everything they were not. You see, and then in the process, they ruin them and destroy their lives by trying to make them into what they themselves never had the chance of becoming. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you must know that love is not only expressed in just giving. Love is also withholding. Amen. It's also withholding what you could otherwise give to spoil someone. Say amen. Amen. Number three, God wants you to experience suffering because it will make you obedient. It will make you obedient. So number two, it makes you perfect or complete or mature. You see, if you haven't been through certain things in life before, you see that you are not mature. You are very idealistic in your thinking. You know, and you won't know certain things. But anyway, number three is that it makes you obedient. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See, these are all scriptures in the Bible. Is it not shocking? Huh? You don't see these verses, isn't it? Somehow, we read around them. Huh? I mean, if you take the book of Hebrews, you quickly go to chapter 11 and verse 6 and say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Isn't it? Yeah, and everyone who comes to God must believe that he is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But this is hiding, tucked away nicely in verse 5. You know, and this is not talking about Apostle Paul. You see, all these suffering verses seem to be related to Christ. Isn't it? The one we just read before, Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1, is talking about Christ. Isn't it? Number 2, Hebrews 2 verse 10. It says, in bringing to make the captain of their salvation. Who is the captain of our salvation? Jesus Christ. To make him perfect through sufferings. Isn't it? Now the third one, we said that though he were a son, yet he learned obedience not from being a son. Do you see? But through the things he suffered. Isn't it? So, though he is your son, and though she may be your daughter, there are some things she will never learn if she is not allowed to suffer some things. Are you getting it? Yeah. And the Bible says, even though he were a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Hallelujah. If we are going to be obedient children of God, one of the ways we will arrive at that destination is through the things we suffer. Sometimes when God's people go through sufferings, they learn to obey God. Isn't it? Yeah. You know, The Bible teaches us that Christ became obedient through the things he suffered. Christ was holy and he was without sin. Yet his obedience to God depended on him suffering certain things. Hallelujah. So we must also suffer and experience some things if we are to fully obey God. Sometimes we think it is stubborn and bad people who need to suffer in order to make them obedient. But good people also need some suffering to prod them on into perfect obedience. When you experience hardships and suffering, ask yourself, what is the Lord trying to get you to do? Hallelujah. What is the Lord trying to get you to do? What does he want me to obey? What does he want me to do for him? Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? Several people became obedient and served the Lord only because of certain hard experiences they went through. There are great men, you know, who only became ministers because they suffered certain experiences. Hallelujah. Then Bishop gives two examples. One of them is a lady called Maria Woodward Etta. This is a woman who later on founded a church, you know, that is still around to today, you know. Now this woman, no, she didn't make the Foursquare Gospel Church, you see. Anyway, let's read about her. Maria Woodward Etta was one of God's lady generals, and she was known for her supernatural ministry of signs and wonders. She had a vision of the harvest when she was 13 years old and heard the voice of God telling her to go to the highways and hedges and gather the lost sheep. Somehow, she did not heed the call. Probably desiring to be like the average woman, she married a couple of years after she had the vision. Then eventually she had a large family with six beautiful children. This is somebody that has been called by the Lord, you know. And instead, she settled, let me have a family just like everybody else. Let me just do what I want to do. Then tragedy struck. And five of her six children died within a short space of time. Can you imagine that, Doreen? Maria herself became ill many times and often thought that she would die. Throughout the time of these different crises, she felt God calling her to preach to the lost. So finally, she gave herself up to the Lord and became obedient to the call. She began ministering in her local area and began to see many conversions. This was the beginning of a great ministry that lay ahead of her. Maria suffered the loss of five children. What a terrible tragedy. Yet, it was this suffering that brought her to her ministry. Wow. Can you imagine that? That somebody who has been called by the Lord, but then she now settles into becoming maybe a housewife or something, just raising her children and being so into her children and having as many as six of them. You understand? Then one by one, they began to die. Hi. I can't even imagine it. You bury five children, one after the other, one after the other. Recently, I heard of a lady who had, I think, four children or so, and all of them had a certain condition. You know, there's actually one of our church members in one of our churches. All of them have a certain condition, and in one particular year, she had lost two. She had lost one, and the other one was in the hospital getting ready to die too, you know. And the agony, you know. But sometimes people have to, or God is forced to take people, his people, through things like that in order for them to obey him. Do you understand? In the Bible, we read about Jonah. God said, go and preach here. Jonah said, no, I'm going here. Do you see? Yeah. God said, go and preach over here. Jonah says, no. Don't you need any preaching over here? Do you understand? God says, go and preach over here. He says, but there are people here too. You see, sometimes we feel that so long as we are doing whatever God said we should do here, if we can do the same over here, it's the same. But it's not the same. Do you understand? It's not the same. Because when you are sent to do something here, you know, and you do that something over here, the effect is not the same. You see, if I tell you, put this chair here, then you take a chair and you put it over here. And you say, after all, both involves putting a chair somewhere. And you have put it over here. But maybe over here I don't have anybody to sit on it. Or the people here don't need a chair. This is the person who needs a chair. And you are walking in disobedience because you want to do what you want to do. Do you get it? So when we live like that, then sometimes it puts us in a situation where the Lord has to help us to learn obedience through the things we suffer. Can you imagine a prophet, a big pastor? He was swallowed by a whale. You get it? So when you see sometimes a pastor, he's going through certain problems, you won't understand. You get it? You won't understand why is this man of God going through such complex problems. When he got on the ship, the Bible says when he went to the place, he ran away from this place and went over here. When he got to the port, there was a ship ready to move. Then he must have said to himself that even the fact that there's a ship going where I want to go is a sign that God is with me. You see, it's a sign that God is with me. But serving God is like that. Do you see? Because there's another prophet called Balaam. You see, and he said, God told him, he went to negotiate with some king, and the king gave him money to curse his own people. You see, the king wanted to fight the people of Israel. And the king knew that the only way you can win that battle is when the people of Israel are under a curse. When they disobey God and they are under a curse, then you can fight them and win. You see, so the king sent people and told Balak that, look, you are a prophet. Come and curse God's people for me. And then Balaam told him, look, God's people, they are blessed. I cannot curse them. You see, but the money is good. So let me go and check with God to see if he will let me curse his people. You see, when he went to God, God told him that, my friend, the people are blessed. They are my people. They are blessed. You cannot curse them. So go and tell the guy that it's not going to work. Then he went and told the guy, it's not going to work. Then the guy said, oh, it's because the money is not enough. That's why you are talking like this. So he increased the money. You know, then when they brought the money to the guy, he looked at it, man, so his mortgage will be finished. Can drive one of the latest cars in town. You know, maybe he has some debt here and there. He can just finish some college tuition here and there. Look, this money can go a long way. You know, so he told the guys, look, you stay here. Let me go and check with God to see if he will change his mind. And let's see if God has changed his mind since yesterday. So when he went to talk to God, then God said, I told you that these people are already blessed. Okay, go. Go and curse them. Just go. You know. So he woke up the next morning in the confidence of the fact that God said he should go. But he didn't think to realize that God's word is the same. What God has said does not change. Hallelujah. Yeah. God's word is the same. So he set about to go. And then in the middle of the road, the Bible says, God who told him to go also prepared an angel to kill him in the middle of the road. Yeah. So this man was going, and then they got to a place where the angel blocked the road. When the angel blocked the road, they couldn't go. The man was furious. Look, you're joking with the money. Do you know how much money? Do you know how much money is involved with this cursing that I'm going to do? This project, you know, says you are a horse. I'm riding you. You won't go. Do you know how you are fed? You know, so he forced the horse until the horse opened his mouth and spoke. You know, and the horse told him that, when have I behaved like this? You know, when have I behaved like this? Am I not your horse? Have I not always served you? Have we not always gone to every place together? He says, except that there's a problem. Huh? There's a problem. Your life is in danger and you don't even know it. You know, then the Lord opened his eyes to see the angel of the Lord. You see, and the Lord told him, the angel told him that you should thank your horse. It's though you have a horse that can see visions. You see, so it's your horse that has saved you. But otherwise, what we would have heard was that Balaam is dead. And then we say, what? A prophet like that has died. Wow. Oh, God is not faithful. Do you understand? Yeah, how can God do that? This man has been serving you, has been preaching and so on. Then you just kill him like that. But they wouldn't know that the man was actually walking in disobedience. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it must have been a very frightening experience for the imagine if you had even a small pet like a goldfish and you go home and it starts to talk. You get it? You have a small goldfish in a tank in your room. And then when you enter your room, it starts to talk. You see, you will be very scared. You see, yeah. Hallelujah. So people learn obedience through the things they suffer. Hallelujah. And I believe that if we will learn to be obedient, even some of the suffering we can escape. What do you think? Yeah. Bishop gives a second example, William Branham, but because of time, let's just go on to the next point. Read it. Everybody has one of these, isn't it? Yeah, so read it. Next point. God wants you to experience suffering because it will bring you closer to Christ. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship is communion. It means interaction, isn't it? Yeah. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Hallelujah. See, once again, this suffering we're talking about is the suffering of Christ. And Paul is adding himself to it. And he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And then I also want my share of his sufferings. Isn't it? I want to suffer the same things with him. Hallelujah. Suffering creates a fellowship of like-minded sufferers who have experienced the same things. There is a bond that forms between people who have gone through certain experiences, you know. In order, therefore, to be part of certain fellowships, you must suffer certain things. You must suffer the 7 years of medical school to be part of the fellowship of doctors. You must suffer the ridicule and rejection that people in full-time ministry experience in order to join a certain fellowship. There is a closeness to God and to Christ that you have when you experience suffering. You will have a deeper understanding of who Christ is and what he's done for you as you experience the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah. Is it not true that when you have all been through the same things together, you know, you have a certain closeness? Sometimes even people become friends because they met somewhere where they were all looking for the same thing. You know, yes, I used to have a church member and that person was brought to church by another person. And one day I asked them, how did you meet? So, Bishop, at immigration, we're all applying for asylum. we all went there to apply for asylum together, you know. So two strangers, total strangers, but with one common problem. You see, yeah, arriving at the place and having compassion on each other and feeling pity for each other and trying to encourage each other as they waited outside the immigration building for a long time. you know, just staying together and sharing together and whatever they had, even food, they sort of shared together, exchanged phone numbers until they shared church services together. You see, one felt that, look, let me invite you also to my church, both of us to pray to God in case he will intervene in this our asylum case. In the end, both of them got their asylum. You know, yeah. And they have become friends to today. You get it? So when people go through something together, those people develop a bond, isn't it? So when we are added to the sufferings of Christ, when we also suffer something because of Christ, then we also appear on the same page as him. Amen. Amen. And it brings us closer to God. You also begin to understand what Christ went through because of you. Hallelujah. And you are also glad that you can also go through something because of him. Hallelujah. Yeah, that you can also go through something because of him. That you can say that, Lord, I'm glad that you counted me worthy to take some of your shame. Isn't it? Yeah. So that is a very, very important point. That suffering because of Christ will bring you closer to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Number five, God wants you to experience suffering because of the glory that will follow you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Just as the day follows the night, the glory of God will come after the sufferings we experience. The glory of being a doctor comes after the sufferings of medical school. The glory of having a baby comes after the suffering of labor and childbirth. The glory of having a baby comes after the suffering and difficulties of adoption. You know, that's for those who adopt children. The good news is that the glory we will experience cannot be compared with the suffering we must go through. Hallelujah. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Okay. There are too many scriptures that support these great truths, and these are just a few, right? Number one, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Number two, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can you see that? Yeah. The third one, 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Right? 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Right? Then Romans 8:17 and 18, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. That's the formula for suffering and glory. That's how they are related. The suffering is always less than the glory it brings. That is what makes the suffering worth it. So when you see anybody going through any difficult thing for any reason, it is because what is coming after the difficult thing is much better than the difficult time they are going through. Compared to going through labor, you know, the baby they are going to have is priceless. That's why they would pay the price of going through all that labor. Do you understand? Even if someone has an exam to write and is striving and struggling, staying awake, you know, putting their feet in cold water, drinking coffee, chewing coffee, You know, the other day I was falling asleep somewhere and I didn't want to fall asleep. I tell you, I took the coffee. I had about 3 of the sachets in my pocket. And I would open it and pour it in my mouth. Hey! Somebody asked me, what are you eating? I said, do you really want to know? When I opened my mouth, he was shocked. Yeah. I poured it like that into my mouth just to stay awake. You know, and it's all because it was bitter and painful that I had to put such a thing in my mouth. But I knew that if I succeed with what I'm doing, staying awake was going to bring me much more blessing than the pain of chewing that coffee. Hallelujah. So it is like that. That is why people allow themselves to go through the suffering, difficulty, because if you can just pass your exam, you know, if you can just get this qualification, what a difference is going to make in your life. So people have their eyes on the glory. And to be able to go through suffering successfully, you need to fix your eye on the glory. The Bible says Jesus Christ, it was because of the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, yes, the cross was painful, and yes, the cross was shameful, but the joy that was following the cross was much more glorious. It was much more glorious. It was much more glorious. That is why every Christian must have their eyes on glory, even glory beyond this earth. Hallelujah. You must have your eyes on glory beyond this earth. Because if you can't see any joy, it takes the sense out of the endurance. It's difficult to justify why you are going through all this suffering and difficulty. For what? Do you understand? Once people start to go through difficulty, their first question is, what's the point? What is going to come out of all of this? Once they can't see anything, they want to boycott it. But if you can see what is ahead, if you can see what is ahead. And last week we're reading on Sunday, the Bible says that there is something waiting for us. Amen. The Bible says one day we will rise again. When we rise up, our works will follow us. Amen. You get it? And for that, it is worth the suffering we go through to have those works. Because one day that's all we'll have left. Isn't it? One day we will not have anything else left. Hallelujah. We'll not have anything. Even people will not have time at our funerals to read through where you worked and, you know, where you went to school. You notice sometimes when you go to funerals, one of the reasons why they publish all those big, big books these days at the funeral is so that you can read it at home. Yeah. They try to give everybody one. So you take it home and come and read it, because there's often no time, even at the funeral, to go through. And you were working for Lance Department, and after that you went to work for this place for 2 years, and after that you went to study in this place. I mean, people don't want to know all these things anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, people don't want to know all these things. So the only thing we have going for us is the work that we do for the Lord. One day we will be happy that we did. One day you'll be glad that somewhere on your spiritual resume you can write somewhere that I was part of the Oakland church when we were building it, I mean, founding member, and they've written it over there. And you will see that, hey, so this was my small credential. This is all that I got. You know, and it becomes so precious to you. Because apart from that, what else? Do you understand? What else? Sometimes you see people, when people retire from jobs or retire from what they did for a living, if they don't open their mouth to tell you that I used to be this, you won't even know. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody remembers that you were once a professor. Nobody remembers that you were once the chief police officer. Nobody remembers that you've even been in the military before. Look at the veterans. They're always struggling. They always have to sort of remind people that look, that what you are enjoying, the America you are enjoying, the way it is today, it was built on our backs. They have to remind people all the time. You see, because nobody remembers all these things anymore. Hallelujah. That is why the work we do for the God has promised us that in Him our labor will not be in vain. Hallelujah. In Him our labor will not be in vain. The work of God that we are doing, the churches we are building, it will not be in vain. Amen. It will not be in vain. The people who gave their lives, the early Christians who suffered and gave their lives for Christianity to continue, they should come and see. They should come and see, and I'm sure they are seeing us from wherever they are, to see the fruit of their labor, that the faith did not die. The faith did not die. That up to today, Christianity still exists and has spread much more than ever before. There are more Christians today. There are more churches than when we were having small churches walking in places. Apostle Paul being beaten and, you know, swimming and having shipwrecks and all kinds of terrible experiences he was going through trying to do the work of God. It has not been in vain. It has not been in vain. Look at his writings. He wrote them from prison. You know, the things we are living on, the writings that have become the backbone of our faith today, were writings that he wrote in prison. In prison. You know, who even knows why God put him in prison? So that, perhaps if he hadn't gone to prison, he wouldn't have written. You see, he may have found himself in a situation where now there's no choice, that you can't go and preach anywhere. So you can only sit here and write your preaching, you know, and as the Holy Spirit inspires you, you write the things and send them to the churches, and send one to the Corinthians, send one to the Ephesians, send one to this, and just be sending the letters. And look at those letters. Those have become the most valuable treasures that we are living on. The Christian faith is existing on the revelations of Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Is it not fantastic? Yeah. So, let us work for God. Amen. Let us work for God. And let us not shy away from working for God. Let's continue to press on and work for God. It will give us energy. It will keep us in the faith a long time to come. Today I was speaking to somebody, and the person was telling me that, you know, I don't feel like I used to feel. She said that, you know, there was a time when we would go to church, you know, I used to feel something, but these days when I go to church, it doesn't have that effect on me, you know. And I believe the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. It just reminded me. I said, do you remember those times, the times you are referring to? You were so involved in the church, because she was then. And she used to sing in the church, and she used to lead songs and so on. I said, do you remember? I used to sing before I would preach, you know. And it's interesting to me that you are saying today that those were your most meaningful, the most meaningful times of your Christian life. Do you understand? And now that you don't do any of those things, you go to church and you feel dead. You just don't feel any life in the place anymore. Hallelujah. So let's continue to work for God. Let's continue to strive to do our best for Him. And I believe it's going to be a blessing for us. Amen. Let me give you the last one before we close tonight. Number 6, God wants you to experience suffering so that you play your part in the completion of the sufferings of Christ. Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh do I share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. In filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Hallelujah. And this one is a mysterious reason, isn't it? Why we must suffer to complete the sufferings of Christ. It means probably that Christ left some of the suffering for us to do. You understand? Just as he left some of the preaching for us to do, he must have left some suffering for us also to go through to accomplish that preaching and to accomplish that work. Amen. So, if the head suffers and the body does not suffer, then the sufferings of Christ are not complete. Amen. So, if Christ went through it, we must also expect that we'll go through some difficulties in trying to be followers of Christ. Hallelujah. So let me conclude tonight by saying that we must not be surprised. Amen. We must not be surprised if for his sake we go through some difficult things. Amen. Make some losses or experience some losses, experience some sufferings, some difficulties, some inconvenience, just because we are followers of Christ. It's perfectly okay. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. It doesn't mean that God does not or is not interested in us. It doesn't mean that God is not even hearing our prayer. Sometimes it is the answer from God. Are you getting it? Yes. Later on we'll see how Apostle Paul said he was going through something and he prayed to the Lord to take it away. You get it? And the Lord said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. You have to keep it. And Paul explains, he said, it was so that I will not be exalted too much by the abundance of revelations that were being given to me. In other words, God had given him so many spiritual encounters that God needed to give him some, you know, fleshly problems also so that he can be balanced. Do you understand? Otherwise, he will be floating too much with the revelations, you see, and seeing the next thing you know, he'll be thinking he's God. Do you get it? So God gave him some problems on earth here just to remind him. He said, a thorn in his flesh. Hey, something that is not going away because it's been sent by God. Only God can call it back. And God says he's not calling it back. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, I've given you enough to cover it. So just keep it as it is. And so Paul said, I even stopped praying about it and I started rejoicing with my problem. Yeah, because it's from God. Anything from God, feel free to be happy with it. Even if it's not nice. Hallelujah. He said, I rejoice in my infirmities. You know, so that the power of God will rest upon me. And God said, I gave it specifically because of the abundance of your spiritual revelations. Your spiritual advancement was so much that I needed something. You see, like a balloon. When you put the helium or whatever, that gas, and you put it in the balloon acquires a tendency to just, right, which is not the reason why we are filling it. We are not filling the balloon up so it goes up, up, up in the sky. We want it to stay here for decoration. Isn't that the reason why we filled it? So now we need something that will hold it down here. That's why we would tie a weight. You see, we tie a weight at the end of the balloon and put the weight down. And as long as that weight stays on it, the balloon stays here on earth to accomplish its purpose. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that weight is the problem. And you bet the balloon doesn't like it. So the whole time the balloon tries to wave itself free from it. But it is that process that makes it do its decorative work. Do you understand? As it's waving to try to free itself from the weight, then we are also getting what we put it there to do. That's how everybody, so you see the car dealers, they put these balloons in front there, and as the balloon is trying to free itself, then everybody can see they are selling cars here, they're selling cars here. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight and let's bring the service to a close. I think it's a great book, isn't it? Great teaching. And we should really learn it and understand it so that we can be very balanced believers. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and thank you for what we have learned. We pray in Jesus' name for the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray for anyone who is going through any kind of suffering and difficulties. because of you, for your sake. Anyone who's having to endure strain, endure stress, endure pain, endure disappointment because they trust in you. Anyone who is having to go without because they trust in you. Anyone who is having to put up with something because they are refusing to cut corners and to do what the world is doing, and they are trying to be righteous. I pray for all such people, Father, that you will give them grace in the name of Jesus. Like you gave to Apostle Paul, we pray that you will give same grace and say to them, whisper to them, my grace is sufficient unto you. I pray, Lord, that none of us will fall away. None of us will become victims of the circumstances you allow us to experience, but rather the suffering will birth in us what it's intended to birth in us, whether it's obedience or maturity and perfection, whatever it is that it's supposed to add to our lives. I pray that it will add exactly that to our lives. Patience, more faith, more hope, humility, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that we will not miss the point in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. As we go home tonight, we pray for safety on the roads. We pray for your spirit to be with us. We pray for angels to go before us. We commit the rest of the week into your care. And we ask, oh God, that your presence will be with us at all times. Minister to us. Let your spirit be with us to direct us and to guide us. Soften our hearts that we may walk in obedience in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Let's receive an offering tonight before we go. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. All right, Father, we thank you also for a chance to give again. We pray for your blessing over our giving tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Oh, you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful once again. Thank you for your blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace.